many disciples and that name Christians, the world saw in them the likeness of Jesus. Now from Matthew chapter 4 that we read, the first mark of a true disciple is that a true disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. A true disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. A follower there is one who has left his own personal values, his own way of life, his own style, his own opinions. He has left them because he has changed. He has stopped following his own ways, now following Jesus. A true disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Men follow many things. Men hunger after many things. Some are living their life according to the fashion that is reigning. Some by the music. So what they are following is money. That's what drives them. That's what moves them. But a true disciple is a follower of Jesus, meaning that whatever Jesus says, that is what he will do. They can conveniently, without feeling guilty, leave every other thing and focus on Jesus. That's a true disciple of Jesus Christ. They will not mind what they will put aside. They are ready to please him. Because when you tell somebody who is busy, if you read very well, these men were busy doing their business and they were happy with their life. And here somebody coming, just telling them, follow me. And without much ado, without much thinking, he said, give me some time. They just said that they left their nets, they left their father and everything. I'm not saying, let me go home. I want to discuss with my father, my mother. Let me discuss with my parents. Let me talk to my friend. Let me have some time. They left their nets, left everything and followed. At that point, their opinion did not count. Jesus began to dictate the way they will live their life. That's the implication of following. I want to ask us this morning, even as we are seated here, we came here because we believe in the Lord Jesus. I want to believe that that's why we came here. And that's why we have been coming here. That's why we call the name Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a true disciple? Are you following? Or you have, you know, sometimes we follow our own will, our own plans. In fact, we have plans. Many of us have our plans. And when the things of God come up, we pick up our plans and begin to run them. If you cannot let down your plans, if you cannot put them aside, then you are still struggling in making commitment to become a true follower, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in life, there are some people who call follow. That's what a true disciple looks like. He's a follower. Even if it will cost him his life, he's a follower of Jesus. Jesus was showing them an example. He said he was going to Jerusalem again. He said the other day they almost caused trouble for you. They almost killed you. So I'm still going there. That's the picture of what a follower looks like. And that's a true disciple. Are you a follower or a church goer? Or are you coming so they will not ask you, why were you not in church on Sunday? Why were you not in fellowship? Why were you not in the prayer meeting? Is that why you are coming? Because somebody will ask you, is that the reason you come to church? Is that the reason you call on the name Jesus? A true disciple is a follower. The priority of Jesus. Jesus is on the first, you know, is number one on his list. He's willing to put everything aside, following. In other words, he forgets his own identity and following him. He's my master. You know that the one you are following becomes the master that he takes, and your identity is covered. It's like it's overshadowed by the one that you are following, because he's the one that will give you instruction, and his instructions must not favor you first. That's how you know a true follower. A true disciple is a follower of Jesus. I want to settle that one with your mind this morning. Ask yourself, am I a true follower? Am I a true disciple? Or I'm just following the crowd? If you risk it for very well. The Bible says many people follow Jesus. In those days, many people followed him. Even apart from the 12 disciples, they were other disciples of Jesus. If you read John chapter 6, around verse 60, 61, 62, down there you will see when Jesus preached one of the hardest messages to everybody that seems to be following him. You know, when they heard it, they said, this man is giving us his flesh to eat, that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And the Bible said that many of them, what happened to them? They turned away from following him. See, many of the disciples went back and he turned to the 12. He asked them, will you also go away? Will you stop following me? Because you are beginning to see the demands. You are beginning to see what it takes to follow me. You know that when Jesus said, you will eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know that naturally you actually become what you eat. I hope you know that you become what you eat. What you eat reflects in your life. Just like the way God made us from the sand, the dust he made us. That's why many of the nutrients you find in the body, you test the soil, you find them there. At that point, they were not willing. Those who turned away were not true followers of Jesus. It was becoming tough for them. Is it already tough? Are you the type that will ask questions? Must we do this? When you begin to ask questions, is it right for a Christian to do this when you know the truth? Then your following is suspicious. Praise Master Jesus. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I read verse 37. Then the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? Praise the Lord. Where are you staying? Now the question is that when they started following him, what were they looking for? Jesus asked them, as if he did not know. Why do you come to church? Is it because of what you will gain? At the time, Jesus told those who wanted to follow him, say, birds of the air, they have nests. The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. Why are you calling on the name? Is it because of your personal needs or because you want to know him? They asked him a question that suggests that they wanted to know him. See, where do you stay? When you are in a relationship and someone begins to ask you that question, the person wants to know you intimately. Where do you stay? And Jesus told them, come and what? See, that's following. Come! How will you know him if you don't follow him? Praise Master Jesus. I also see from the scriptures that we read that a true disciple is a lover of God. Praise the Lord. A true disciple is a lover of God. A lover of the things of God. This love, that's why when the going was getting tough, when Jesus preached that message in John chapter 6, disciples say that you are the one that have the words of eternal life. You are the ones that have the truth. What drives you? What drives you? What's your passion? If you don't have passion for God, your love test is questionable. What moves you? What is the thing that drives you? Do you love God? A true disciple is a lover of God, a lover of the things of God. The things of God will not irritate you. You'll be hungry for them. Are you hungry for the things of God? Is there a driving force? Do you feel satisfaction? Just like persons who are in love relationship, you know, genuinely will make any sacrifice to please the one that they love. The type of love I'm talking about is that sacrificial love. You will not mind what you will give up for the one that you love. Do you have genuine love for God? Do you love the Father? What is the thing that you can... if everything is taken away from you in this life, will you still love God? As if the whole world is falling on you, will you still show that you love Him? Jesus asked Peter in John 21, verse 15, 16, and 17. At the time, Peter was almost drifting, and Jesus appeared on the scene and asked him, "Peter, son of Jonah, lovest me more than this?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." He asked him that question 3 times. If I ask you now, do you love God? Probably your first question will be yes. But that's not enough. When the test comes, we will know whether you love God. Do you love God? A true disciple is a lover of God. Let's see Matthew chapter 10, we'll read verse 37 and 39. Matthew chapter 10. "See, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Look at verse 39. "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Love for God, priority love for God, above every other thing. The things that I mentioned in this passage, there are things that naturally that we are attached to. Your brother, your parents, your father and mother, your daughter, your son, your own life. These are things that we are attached to. And Jesus is saying, when it comes to this thing, I should be number one. He who places Jesus, who places God as number one, when these very precious things are there, is the one that truly is my disciple. That anyone who places these things before me is not worthy of me. And these were the things that the disciples of Jesus put aside. Even when there was going to be pressure, I know that there would have been reactions coming from the home. "Why have you abandoned us?" Though it would be paining them, why would I have to leave them like that? Following this man everywhere, as if without a future, as if there's no hope, as if I have no looking like a busybody everywhere, as if doing nothing. That was a kind of picture. But the love attached them to him, despite their physical, as it were, loss. He said, "We will still follow him." And they followed him everywhere. Are you a true lover? Is love your motivation as a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? Another thing I see from the scriptures as a mark, the mark of a true disciple, is sacrifice. Sacrifice. What are you willing to give up to follow him? Sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? Or what have you given up you must give up something. There's no two way about it. There are some things that we have been attached to. When Jesus met that young, rich, you know, ruler, young man, and Jesus, he told Jesus, I've kept all these laws, these rules since I was young. And Jesus told him, there's one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything that you have. Give to the poor and come and do what? And follow me. And about that, the young man went away sad because he has so much and his heart has been attached to this thing. If Jesus comes to you now and say, this very thing at the center of your life, I need it, what will you do? Jesus sent his disciples into the city when he was to enter into Jerusalem. I said, that just go. The ass is tied there. Just lose it. If they ask you, tell them the master has need of it, and it will surrender to them. Have you come to the point that you have crossed your mind? Because it is not when it comes to the point when the Lord is demanding it from you. You settle it before the time. If Jesus asks for this one, I will not think twice. I will give it to him. As long as I am sure he's the one asking for it. What are you willing to release? What are you willing to give? Sacrifice of your time. Sacrifice of your resources. Sacrifice of your money. Sacrifice of worship. So many of us, we don't have time. And here you are saying you are a disciple of Jesus. You don't have time for him. Then you are not a true disciple. You cannot be more busy than God, no matter what you are engaged in. You cannot be more busy than God himself, who created you, who has given you time, who has given you privilege that you are enjoying. Yes, you occupy a very big position. Who gave it to you? Why do you think that in that position, you cannot give him time? You cannot sacrifice something. What is so big that you cannot sacrifice? Marks of true disciples. Sacrifice. There's nothing they will not be willing to give up. In fact, in scriptures, let's read Luke 14. We'll see something in Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 26. And Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be. Let me read verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake, take note of verse 33, please. So likewise, whoever, I am not the one saying it, neither have I attained it, but God is showing us what it means to be a true disciple. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake how many things? All that he has cannot be my disciple. So you must make up your mind now that everything that I have, the implication is that as a true disciple, all that you have belong to him. That's the way to forsake them. To the point that you will not be paying when you are giving them. They belong to him. After all, Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. So what have you received? What do you have that you have not received? Like Paul asked the believers of God. Sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? What have you given up? What is it there that if God asks for it, you will find it difficult to release it? Begin to ask God to help you, because whoever is not willing to give any all that he has cannot be. It's a serious matter that we must take note of. So, just like disciples, they left everything, they followed him. Now let's go back to Matthew 28 that we read. Another mark of a true disciple in that place. Verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go therefore and make disciples. A true disciple makes disciples. Praise the Lord. A true disciple makes disciples. That is what it ought to be. That's what it should be. God expects you to duplicate yourself. And that's why I say, go ye. A true disciple has been sent to make other disciples. But some of us were marking time, we are just sitting there doing nothing. This is an aspect that we must fulfill if you are to be listed as a true disciple. Jesus went about preaching, teaching, healing, and he commanded this to the disciples. Say, go ye into all the world, everyone. God has made you to be a soul winner. That's the process of making disciples. God wants you to duplicate yourself. Now you have come to the light. Who have you brought to Jesus? Who have you brought to Jesus? Or maybe you are thinking, that one is for the evangelist, it's for the pastors, it's for the apostles, it's for the teachers, and all that. Is a common responsibility, task that God has given to all true disciples. Since you gave your life to Christ, how many disciples have you brought to Jesus? Because it's one of those things that will be checked on the day at the checking point into heaven. It will be checked. Because the Bible tells us that anytime a new disciple is made, anytime someone is brought as a new disciple to join the fold of disciples, the Bible says, heaven does what? Rejoices. So heaven is much more very conscious of the fact that you are here on earth representing heaven to make more disciples for the Lord Jesus. And some of us, our will just relax and we are at the level of the pews, but I'm not starting. What are you doing? What are you waiting for? So preach. To evangelize, thank God for the hymn we sang. At least you can tell somebody the love of Jesus. There is something you can do to make disciples. Your life can make disciples. Living right, pleasing Him. Your passion for God can entice somebody. The way you run after God can entice somebody. Say, what? The way this person is doing this, there must be something special. A true disciple makes disciples. Ask yourself, how many disciples have you made? If you call yourself a true disciple of the Lord Jesus, how many have you made? You say, I'm not still full-time, I'm not that, I'm this and that. Or you give many excuses. All those excuses will not hold. Wherever you are, God has positioned you there to make disciples. That's your connection. Where you are is your connection to those that God wants you to reach out to. What have you done with that? The opportunities that God has given to you, the privileges that you have, that money that you have is for a purpose. Because money is only relevant here on the earth. It's not relevant there in heaven. You can use it to lay up treasure for yourself. Why using it here on the earth? What have you done with the privileges, the opportunities? You may be the type that people like trooping around you. It's a privilege. What have you used it to do? That's an opportunity that God has given to you. Are you making disciples? Praise the Lord. You see, this is the mission of a true disciple. Making disciples is a mission of true disciples. Let's take one more before we pray. A true disciple, another mark of a true disciple is obedience. Whatever he tells me, I will do. Praise the Lord. Whatever he tells me, I will do. Jesus has the final say. Have you come to that point? Are you still struggling? If the call comes to you to do something for the Lord, what will you do? Jesus in Luke chapter 5, when he came to where Peter, you know, in that encounter, Jesus just asked, give me your boat to preach first. In our own setting today, like we always say, he not even ask me how I'm faring. He not just ask me how I'm faring, whether I'm eating. How is business today? He did not ask me. He not even greet me. You know, we say those things now. We say it to ourselves. He did not even greet me. And this pastor is not caring. Why is he doing like this? The only thing pastor is saying, I want to use your boat to what? To preach. It's your boat I want you to preach. And the Bible said, Peter allowed him to what? Use the boat. That's obedience. Jesus having the final say. Consciously that he owns that boat. Let's stand on our feet. Obedience is a proof of your love for him as a true disciple. Obedience is a proof of your love for him. Do you love God? I want to ask you the question that Jesus asked Peter in John chapter 21. Say, Peter, lovest me more than this? If all we have described, they are not true of you, you can do something today. There's something you can do. Because the true disciples are the ones that God will welcome into heaven. Because you must accomplish it. Deciding to follow Jesus is signing yourself into discipleship and will be ready to follow, to live as a true disciple. Close your eyes. In 1 minute, just meditate on what you have heard. Follow out Jesus as a true disciple, a lover of God, a sacrifice, a disciple maker, obedience as a mark of a true disciple. Begin to pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. Grant me the grace to become a true disciple, a true follower. Grant me the grace. Some, people do not even know that you're a Christian. They will, if they say it out, they will doubt it. But there's no resemblance. They are not seeing anything at all. Is that your case? Just pray, say, Lord, help me. Grant me grace. Deepest to serve Jesus, I speak from my heart. He's always be with us if we do our part.
There's not in this wide world that pleasure affords.
Yes.
There's peace and contentment in serving the Lord. I love him far better than in days of yore. I'll serve him more truly than ever before. I'll use him against me, whatever the cause. I'll be a true soldier, I'll die at my
own. Now before we pray, finally, listen to what Paul said. He said, for me to die is what? Is gain. And to live is what? Is Christ. That's the saying of a true disciple. That's what it means. Father in heaven, we thank you. We appreciate you for your word. Lord, we ask for grace and grant us one more time to put these things right in our lives. All that you require of us, the grace to be able to sit down and get these things right, grant unto us in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, following you, we know from scriptures, is not play. It's seriousness. It's commitment. Help us, Lord, to make this commitment of a lifetime in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.